power of Christ. Hopefully that theme will continue on in the next portion of our service. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as we are continuing our study through this wonderful letter that Paul has written. We are going to make a transition this morning, or Paul will actually make a transition this morning. He will transition here in verse 17. It will take place from dealing with the division over the past leadership of those who were there at Corinth, from now the division over worldly wisdom and philosophies. At the end of the day, it is a division over people's belief and world views and their belief and opinions. So I believe that you and I this morning can say that God is providential in his messages that he has for us, because we are living in a time now where people are divided over how they see the world and how they believe they and everyone else should live in the world based upon those world views. And so I do believe that God in his providence this morning is being very gracious to us and very good to us. Now, before we wade into those waters though, let me say this. I want to camp out this morning on verse 17 and 18. We'll finish out the chapter dealing with the worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom, okay? But verse 17 and 18, I want to camp out this morning, because in this transition, this moment of transition, Paul was presenting to us an important and repeated truth throughout Scripture about preaching and its priority. Now, if anyone knows me, you know that when it comes to the preaching, about preaching, I get a little uneasy. But I make no apologies for this, because as you're going to see in just a moment, that the issue of preaching is a means of grace and a priority and an importance for the local congregation. So this will serve not only this morning as an introduction into this new division that is plaguing the church of Corinth, but it will also serve for you and I this morning as an encouragement when it comes to what we do right now. What we are doing right now in this moment, where we gather together and we open the Word and we say, a man stands forth and he goes, thus saith the Lord. And so I want to look at this morning the priority of preaching in the local church. And I want to show you three things this morning. I want you to see the sender, the content, and the power. The sender and the content and the power. And so look with me here, and we're just going to read just a few verses here beginning in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. It says, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, God did not come to know, or did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message." Notice this: well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And may God bless this morning the reading and the preaching of His Word. We are living, beloved, in a time like no other in history. We are living in a time of history where we are experiencing what I and many others will call information overload. Okay? Information overload. We have more information coming at us on a daily basis than anyone has ever had in all of history. And not only that, we're upset if we can't get this information within seconds. We're upset, you know, when the internet is not giving me what I want from Google fast enough, okay? But we live in a time of internet and 24-hour news cycles and social media. And so therefore, I know what's going on in the world. I know, I can almost tell you this morning what most celebrities are having for breakfast because they're going to tell me on social media. Information overload. I know what many of you have already done this morning if you put it on social media. And I think the Corinthians were having similar problems. Notice the second half of verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, dealing with what we looked at the last couple weeks. But now he says, but to preach the gospel. And then he uses this phrase, not in cleverness of speech. The point of transition here. The cleverness of speech literally means this wisdom of doctrine. You see, Corinth was located in southern Greece, about 45 miles from Athens. Greeks prided themselves on the abundance of worldview, the abundance of philosophy. Philosophy is love of wisdom, phileo, love of wisdom here, okay? Athens was a world hub for classical education and thinkers. And so therefore, Corinth was a hot spot, if you will, for philosophical opinions and debates and philosophers. So to kind of give you an idea, it was the Washington, D.C. of politics. That's where it was, the Washington, D.C. of politics. This meant that there were hundreds of philosophers and hundreds of philosophies and hundreds of different opinions and ideas, all ranging for different questions of life, of what is the meaning of life? Who really created the world? Or was the world created? How was everything created? What's the point of the life? You know, how should I live in this world? There was an overload of information. Worldview and the man's opinions. And each faction had great speakers and orators and debaters. So this kind of made it even worse because these men would come before people on the stage and they would dazzle them with their speech and with their creative ideas and stuff. And they would woo the crowd into their belief system. That was the ultimate goal. They were to win the crowd over to their way of thinking, to gather followers behind their belief system. It was an overabundance of philosophy that fueled the division within Corinth. Not only were they divided over their preference of pastors, but they were also divided over their belief and worldview of how to live even as Christians now. You have to understand, they embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ came and Christ died and Christ saved them. But now that they are Christians, they're like, okay, we're believers. But how do we live as believers now? Well, philosophy played a part. This philosopher says this way. This philosopher says this way. Well, here's this here. And so they had the gospel, but they began to look at their life through the lens of human wisdom. And Paul warns them, but he's also warned other churches, such as the church of Colossae, of a similar problem. He said, seeing to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Colossians 2:8. And likewise, more than ever in the history of the world, you and I need to be cautious of information overload. We need to be cautious because we are living in a culture, and dare I say, not just the culture, but we ourselves, we are enamored with the various philosophies of our day. But they're not called philosophers. They're called politicians and journalists, news network personalities, social media celebrities, Hollywood celebrities, bloggers, vloggers, and all kinds of other authors of stuff. People put stuff out there telling you how you are to view the world and how you are to live your life in this world. And we are enamored with that. So much so that a man or a woman now in their teens can become billionaires by just posting videos of what they had for breakfast. We want to know what they think. We want to know what the Kim Kardashians of the world are doing today. And Paul comes and he says, you must be careful because they are vying for you to embrace their man-made wisdom, their worldly wisdom, their worldly way of thinking. And more than any other moment in history, beloved, this information that we are receiving, I would be willing to say this morning with confidence that over 90% of it is anti-God. Just this last week on CNN, or last 2 weeks, Chris Cuomo looks to the camera and says, you have it within you to do good, you don't need the man upstairs. Don Lemon, Jesus was not perfect. And just in case you think I'm picking on CNN, at the height of Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, stood there on his television network and said that God does not send the average American citizen to hell, only the really bad ones. Only people who act like Adolf Hitler and Saddam Hussein. These worldviews, though there is common grace in them, and there is some things that they can help us with, and things like that, there's a little common grace there. But at the end of the day, we do not look for our worldview on how to live this life through worldly philosophies. Instead, Paul looks to the church and he says to them, you are looking how to live by your politicians or your philosophers. For us, politicians, celebrity. And he says, I came to you not with cleverness of speech. I didn't come to be the politician. I didn't come to be the philosopher. I didn't come to woo you and dazzle you with worldly things, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church needed to unplug from the thoughts of men and hear the absolute truth of God on how to live, how to be saved, how to view the world. The church doesn't need the worldview of Donald J. Trump. It doesn't need the worldview of Joe Biden or Tucker Carlson or Don Lemon or whatever social media celebrity or Hollywood celebrity that is out there. We have the Word of God. And we have the preaching of the Word of God. And here's where it gets a little tough for us this morning. This is why preaching is so important. This is the reason why preaching is a priority in the local church, because the preaching of the Word of God rises up in the midst of a world full of noise. And it points us to truth. It points you and I every Sunday to the absolute truth of the Word of God. According to the Scriptures, the preaching of the Word is God's means of grace for you. I know you love the music, but the preaching of the Word is God's means of grace to you and to me. God says in His Word that He has raised up men, sinful men. Why would He ever do that? We'll get to that in a few weeks. But He raises up these men and He gives them a message. And it is His grace upon you that when you come and hear the preaching of the Word, God is being gracious to you. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes from the hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. Where does the grace of salvation come? But a man would stand and preach the gospel. What 2 Timothy 4:2, where Paul said to Timothy, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. How do I know how to live this life? How can I be discipled and grow in my faith? Paul says, Timothy, don't stop preaching to them. We cannot escape the priority of preaching. And yet, that is the one thing that people would rather we remove from the church today. We would much rather the dramas, We would much rather the singing. We would much rather the fellowships and all the other things, because we look at preaching and we think it's foolish. How can a man, a sinful man, how can, you know me, I am sinful and am worthy of nothing. How can a man stand in a pulpit and for 40 minutes preach a monologue about the God of the Bible and it be anything good to you? You are not alone if that is your thought this morning. The Corinthians had the same thought, that preaching and its message were foolish. And Paul quickly, in verse 17 and 18, quickly says, it is the exact opposite. That instead, that the preaching in the local church deserves the utmost and the highest priority of its people. Why? Why? Three things. Number one, because of its sender. Look at verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach. We find here that the message that comes, that the preaching that comes, happens because Jesus Christ himself is sending that to you. Paul is very specific in that Christ has sent him to be a missionary to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, we see his conversion. We see Jesus himself literally say, I am sending out Paul. But this is also general in which that preachers are sent by God. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore, he says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us to you. Making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The ambassador is the preacher. And God is making the appeal through the preacher. So it's not the preacher, but it is God who is making the appeal to the people to be reconciled to God. Do you see, First Baptist, the glory of this statement? Apparently not. But there is glory here. If the preacher is committed to and honest with his calling, and he actually stands up as an ambassador and not as every other worldly philosopher and just preaches the message that God sends, then he's bringing a message that comes directly from Christ to the congregation every time he stands in the pulpit. So therefore, Sunday is a time for the people of God to gather and hear from God. To hear from our Lord. Meaning every Sunday is an encounter with God. You say, how so? Oh, beloved, do you not know what was the difference between God and the pagan idols of the Old Testament? They had statues and images and experiences and emotionalism, and they had all those things with it. What did God have? God spoke. That is the difference. What separates God from everything else, from every other deity, every other pretend God, was that our God spoke words. And so when there was an encounter in Scripture with the God of the universe, it was God speaking to the people. We don't know our God through images in a visual experience or emotional experience. We know God. We encounter God when He speaks. He spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. He spoke to David and Solomon and so forth. The people of God primarily know their God by what? By His Word. So therefore, the preaching of the Word is God's message and God and is you encountering God on a weekly basis. This is why we assemble. This is why we cannot forsake the assembly of the brethren. Because if we forsake the assembly of the brethren, then we are going to miss out on the God of heaven speaking to His people on earth. He has come to speak to us. And this is how the people of God heard at Mount Sinai and in the temple and the Sermon on the Mount. When the words of God were given and sent forth to His people. Do you realize what you're doing this morning? You are joining in throughout the entire historical pattern of everyone who ever encountered God in all of His glory. They assembled and God spoke. He spoke through sinful men, but He spoke to them a message. Preaching should be the highest priority on your to-do list. Not CNN, not Fox News, not Kim Kardashian's tweet. Not the newspaper, not your bloggers. This should be the greatest priority of your week. That you would hear from God rather than from men. Which means that Sundays are priority. That this matters because God has a message for you. And He has a message for me. You have an opportunity this morning and every Sunday to hear and encounter God. And sadly, I hear so many Christians, I just want to encounter God. I've even heard people say, I encounter God by seeing a bumper sticker. I encounter God through this thing out there that happened, and it was God. Do you not realize you are searching for an encounter with God out there when He is here every Sunday? Encountering you with His Word. We should encourage to attend the preaching of the Word. And not only attend the preaching of the Word, but to bring others to come and hear the Word of God. That they may what? Encounter Him. The greatest act of evangelism, beloved, is so easy for you. It's so easy for you. Take your lost loved ones and bring them to Sunday morning church. And say, sit there and listen to God speak. And we're going to get to what God's going to do through that in just a moment. But how wonderful is it to encourage and strengthen? If there are people out there who are scared and are just worried and anxious and they need some encouragement, you can say, brother and sister, let me show you where I find my encouragement every Sunday. When the Word of God is opened and it is given. But secondly, not only do we find here the beauty of this of preaching, that it's the sender that God encounters His people, but you need to know this morning that it is also the content. Notice what he says. Paul says, but to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech. Literally, the cleverness of speech is this means wisdom of words and wisdoms of doctrine. It is the world's wisdom. The Greek word for preach the gospel means to announce the glad tidings or the good news. It is the joyful report of God's kindness and grace. That salvation is found in Jesus Christ. And that it's what Jesus did in Luke 4:43 when he was preaching repentance and calling people to repent and look forward to the kingdom that was coming. It's what the church did when they were scattered throughout the world because of persecution. In Acts 8:4, it's what Paul and Barnabas did as they were on these missionary journeys. Acts 14, going from place to place to place. And it's what Paul told Timothy as his last word to him. Preach the word, Timothy. Therefore, the content of every sermon should not be Brian McAllister's opinion for you. The content of every sermon should not be Brian's cleverness of speech or Brian's entertaining personality. I didn't hear an oh me, so we'll keep going. We don't need to entertain with creative ideas or persuade them with newer wisdom. The preacher delivers the word of God. Plain and simple. He delivers the message of God. He delivers the gospel of Christ. We do not need more human opinions in this world. I don't need more information from men and women in the world with different perspectives. What do I and what do you in this world need to hear? The absolute good news of Jesus Christ. We need God's opinion. As R.C. Sproul said, this is God's opinion. Therefore, we don't mess with it. We just give it. And so therefore we deliver on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, proclaiming the brokenness of and sinfulness of man. We proclaim to you the devastation of sin. You say, well, I thought there was good news. We're going to get to the good news. Just hold on for a second. There is sin in the world, and the world is broken, and there is going to be pandemics, and there's going to be death, and there's going to be broken marriages. There's going to be rebellious children. Why? Because there is sin in the world, because you are sinful and I am sinful. But there is grace and mercy found in the redemption of Christ, who gave his life on Calvary, who rose from the grave 3 days later, bringing victory over sin and death. You see the beauty of the content now. It's not another philosophical or political opinion. If the preacher is committed to and honest with his own calling, then when he stands in the pulpit, he will not give you another take on Fox News or another take on CNN, or another version of a philosophical idea. When he stands in the pulpit, he then brings a sermon that is an exposition of the text and a declaration of the goodness of God that is found there. There is hope, and there is joy, and there is healing, and there is life to be experienced in this world in Christ. Are you not tired of bad news? Are you not tired of sin and its consequences on you in this world? Don't you want to hear some good news for a change, right? Then the preaching of the gospel at the local church is the place you need to go. Because there, when we come and hear the preaching, we find that there is nothing better than to be real and honest with ourselves about the devastation of sin in the world, but then to discover that the God who reigns conquers and destroys and crushes sin and redeems man. And that is why content is so important. Only the Word of God can give you hope and save you. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the content of the Bible, the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so that's why preaching is a priority. That's why we need it more today than I think we have needed it in a long time. Because we need to hear the gospel in an age where we're hearing everything else. And if you are an unbeliever this morning, hear me. The gospel message is your hope. If you are lost and you know that your life is broken and you are under conviction this morning and you realize that you are not a believer, you have not had faith in Christ, hear me this morning. There is nothing out there that will save you, but the only thing that can save you, the only thing that can change you, the only thing that can transform you is the gospel message of Christ, that He lived a perfect life, He died a death in your place, and rose in victory to bring salvation and redemption to your sinful soul. Christ died for you. Come to Him this morning in repentance. Confess your sins and ask of Him to forgive you today and be saved. To the church, I would say to you this morning, FBC, you and I must prioritize the preaching of the Word. Not the man. But the preaching of the Word every time we meet. Not the opinions and the feel-good speeches, not the politics, not the philosophical ideas. The preaching of the pure, simple gospel, the pure, simple exposition of the text. And if you come in here this morning and you ask and you say, but I hate that. If you come in here and say, I do not like to sit here and listen to someone to expound on what that means. I just want to hear such and such. Ask yourself why. Ask yourself why. Why do I not take enjoyment out of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I believe it will lead you to your conclusion. And hopefully to your repentance and salvation. But also let us as a church, Let us now commit ourselves more than ever to train up preachers who preach the gospel. Instead of sending men out there to win crowds and to grow churches, let us train up men who will walk out these doors or stay in these doors and fill this pulpit, who will preach the gospel. George Whitefield said, "Others may preach the gospel better than I, but no one can preach a better gospel." No one can. There is nothing out there, guys. You're not going to find it on news networks or Twitter. You're not going to find it in some book or some blog. There is nothing out there. This is better than this precious gospel of Christ and His life and His death and His resurrection and His sovereignty and His authority and His power. You won't find it anywhere better than this. But thirdly, why is preaching a priority? Because of its power. Notice what Paul said. "But to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void or useless or ineffective. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Preaching should be a priority because of the power and the effectiveness of preaching upon its people. Paul warns that the cleverness of speech will make the cross of Christ void. It will make it ineffective. If we bring in the philosophical, worldly wisdom of men, the political views of men, if we add to or we subtract from the preaching of the pure, simple gospel, the pure, simple text, the word, it becomes ineffective. It's useless. There's no point in preaching if we're going to do that. And so that is the meaning of the word power there in verse 18. That the cross of Christ has the power or the effectiveness to make God known to you and to transform your life. And this has been the case throughout history. Noah was just as sinful and deserving of death and the flood as every other man and woman. But the word of God came and changed him. The word of God came to Abraham, a pagan, and changed him. The word of God came to David. The word of God came to Moses. The word of God came to me and to you, and it changes you. This has been the case from Genesis 1. The word of God came and it created something out of nothing. The word of God came and it brought life to a lifeless body. The breath of God came into the nostrils of a snow castle. I mean, a snow castle, a sand castle. What am I? I'm changing up the story, aren't I? In the sand castle. And Adam came to life. We've already seen that the hearing of the word of God has the power to bring lost sinners to salvation. But notice this, please, First Baptist, notice this. But to us who are being saved, this is not justification. This is not for those who have been saved. This is sanctification. I am being saved daily from the power of sin over me. This is a reference to my discipleship, to my spiritual growth, to my sanctification. We are being saved daily. So therefore, Paul says, the preaching of the gospel has power for you every Sunday after every Sunday. It is my power in sanctification. It helps me fight my sin that I have now, the sin that I am dealing with now. It helps me fight against Satan now. It helps me fight against the world now. And so therefore, preaching is a priority. You want to know how to fight against Satan? Preach and listen to preaching. You want to know how to fight against your sin? We preach and we listen to the preaching. And so therefore, you and I need to sit under the preaching of the word. that we may forgive those who've hurt us. Where does the power come to forgive those who hurt us or even those who disagree with us come from? But from the Word of God. Where does the power to restore a broken marriage, a marriage that is struggling and falling apart? Where do we find the power to make it? But that we, my wife and I, would sit under the preaching of God's Word and allow that Word to enter into me and do something to me. Where do I find the power to have peace instead of worry and be anxious of heart in these days? Where do I find the power to live in this world where now to live is actually a risk? But from the Word of God that comes every Sunday. Where do I find the power to make wise decisions in times of great confusion? Where do I find the power to not give up when I just want to throw in the towel? By assembling and hearing the Word. So therefore, you need to know that every Sunday, the preaching of the Word is doing something in you. And it's doing something in me. It will not remain in vain. God's Word goes forth. It's effective. It's powerful. Powerful for you. And so therefore, we must begin to turn off the noise. We must begin to turn off the social media and the news and the bloggers and the philosophical ideas and opinions of this world that is trying to vie for your attention, to listen to them and tell you how to live your life. By common grace, there are some good things there. I'm not denying that. But we must turn that off and turn our attention to Sunday's gathering to be the most important moment in our day, in our week, to hear the power of God, or to hear the Word, that it may be effective in me. If you want to live in this life, and you want to live it by faith, you need the Word. You need to read it and you need to study it. But God has also, by means of grace, given you an opportunity, a tool, which is called preaching, prophesying the Word over the people. And you need it. By God's grace, I need it. By God's grace, Trade, I need it. We need to hear the preaching of the Word. We are not exempt. That it would work in us. You need to prioritize the preaching of the Word in your life because you've got sin problems that you need to deal with. You've got issues that you need to deal with. And if you want to grow as a Christian, you cannot forsake the assembly of God and claim to then be seeking to grow when you are not here. You must attend and you must listen and you must then meditate on it throughout the week and you must pray that it would work in you and through you. You must obey the Word. You must not just be hearers only, but doers as well. To hear the Word and then begin to apply it in your life after you've meditated, after you've discussed it with your family, after you've discussed it with your friend. What a wonderful topic to have at lunch today. To discuss the content, not the preacher, please, don't do that. The content that was given and the power that it has in you. And you must, as Jerry Bridges says, you must preach to yourself. You must preach to yourself. You must take what you have heard. You must take what you have read and studied. And you must take it outside these walls. And you must preach it to yourself day after day after day. Until finally you are so tired of preaching, but yet Sunday is the next day. And you are refueled to live out your faith for another week. If you would, I want you to turn to something with me. Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to show you the power of the prophesying word of God. And then we will close. Nothing has influenced me more than to read this and to put this in the context of preaching. But in Ezekiel chapter 37, we know the story of Ezekiel who prophesies over the dry and dead bones. But I want you to see something amazing here. Looking in verse 4 of Ezekiel 37. Again he said to me, prophesy, preach, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Well, wait a minute, they're dead. They're bones. How can someone preaching over dead, dry bones? We have enough hard time now preaching to people who are alive. I didn't mean me. I don't have that problem. Again, he said, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord God of these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. And I'll put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together and bone to its bone. And I looked and behold, the sinews were on them. The flesh grew, skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. There was no life in them. And then he said to me, the sender said to me, prophesy. Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, come and breathe these slain, that they come to life. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and there stood on their feet an exceedingly great army. Praise God. The preaching and the prophesying of the word of God. When it comes from the King of Kings and the Master, and when the content is His message and it is given, it has the power to make the dry bones alive again. What do we need today? What does the church need today for revival? What does the Christian need today to live life in 2020 where it's difficult and it's tough and it's scary? What do I need more than anything else but the Word of God prophesied over me that it may have the power to make dead men alive? And so in closing, I say to you, beloved, we have lived in a time where preaching has been probably the least of all things that we do. It is the thing that we want to cut out. It's the thing that we complain about when we go over time and don't look at your clock. But hear me this morning. It is the most important thing of this hour. And so like Charles Spurgeon, we say, let the sun stop shining, and we will preach in darkness. Let the waves stop their ebb and flow, and still our voice shall preach the gospel. And let the world stop its revolution, and let the planets stay their motion. But we will preach the gospel. Never stop preaching. Never stop listening to the message concerning your salvation and your sanctification. And never stop preaching to yourself. And by all means, never stop preaching to a lost and dying world. There is no power out there, beloved. The power to live is found in the Word of God. And so therefore we preach it. We preach it every Sunday. And maybe we should preach it every day. Let's pray.